Welcome to Blitzcast number 48. I'm your host, Alex Kaftoff. I'm going to invite my co-host and partner, Ed Hunt, shortly. Another show, lots of topics. We're going to do scouting profiles on Duke quarterback Daniel Jones. We'll do a scouting report on a talented defensive lineman, Rashawn Gary from Michigan. We'll talk about Dwayne Haskins. There will be some, you know, Randy Gregory and John Ross talk. But let's start with the combine, because coaches and GMs started giving out interviews today, and a lot of things on Twitter. Coaches, talking about their team and what they want to accomplish and what they're looking for in the draft, and just little things like that. So let's start with the combine. Just your overall feeling about the scouting combine in Indy.
I think there are some benefits to it, but when I evaluate a player, I really go by tape. And you know what? I think that really what you do is you sort of look at the tape on the guy, and then if you have a question about him, there's a few things, if you have a sort of a question about him that you can't quite determine on tape, then you look at the combine. But I when I look back at like a lot of these players that were, great combine warriors, and I just don't see these great careers from these guys. And, these guys were always, hyped up, especially by the, sort of mainstream media, and just so many of these guys, it's like, they do so well at the combine. Sure, there are guys who are just, have great tape and also just do really well at the combine. Saquon Barkley, my boy, was an example of that, killed it at the combine, also just a great athlete. And we could see that on tape. So I really think combine should match the tape. And if it doesn't, then maybe you go back and check the tape, but you don't go back and check the combine.
But that's what NFL teams do. I mean, they check certain things. Like, they look at certain positions, they look at certain tests, and either it's reconfirmed what they saw, or it adds a little bit more of a confusion. And the truth is, I mean, some tests correlate. Like, the three-cone drill is really, really important, Ed, especially for edge rushers, wide receivers, defensive backs. I mean, I look at those numbers. I want to find out how good this guy is changing his directions laterally, how quickly he changes directions. And the three-cone drill is something I look at, and always, every year, to kind of just reconfirm what I already knew, or throws out a little bit of a confusion out there. Also, it's about interviews, Ed. I mean, the scouting combine is designed for these teams to sit down with these prospects and talk to them for 15 minutes, ask them the tough questions. I mean, they've done background checks on them. Now they want to find out what kind of a guy is he. Is he a leader? Can he fit into this locker room? Medical tests is also a huge part. I mean, you want to find out how banged up this certain player is. You look at his injury history a little bit, and we've seen a number of players come out of the combine and they drop because of their injury history, because something wasn't right. And same thing with, drug tests. I mean, some guys fail drug tests at the combine, which is a big, big no. And I mean, knowing that you're going to be in the combine in Indy and you're failing drug tests. And, Randy Gregory is probably the classic case, a guy who just, tried to defeat his demons, but wasn't able to do it. Again, he failed the combine drug tests, and obviously he's battled, this disease. Yeah, this disease. I mean, it is what it is all of his life. I mean, the Cowboys believed in him. They continue to give him that support system, but look where he is now. Another suspension for Randy Gregory out there, and it's a sad tale, right, Ed?
Yeah, I mean, especially there were times in his career where it looked like he had really kicked his habits.
He was. I mean, the Cowboys, they provided that support system for him, and this year, I mean, he contributed. But the truth is, it's the end of the line. I mean, it really is. He's getting suspended again. I don't see how the Cowboys keep him around on the roster. A talented guy, but what a wasted career. Another classic case, John Ross, a wide receiver coming out of Washington, right? What did he run? Like a 4.24 at the combine, right? And a guy that was probably, you know, a late first, early second round pick became a top 10 pick. He was drafted by the Bengals with that 9th overall pick. And, you know, the Bengals are willing to move on from him now. I mean, there's a lot of talk that they want to trade him. I'm just, what's the trade market for John Ross right now?
I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe a 7th round pick.
That's tough. I mean, the Bengals wasted a top 10 pick on a wide receiver who they thought was going to be the number two target opposite of AJ Green, and they're willing to move on and take a 7th round pick. I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow, Ed. And again, it's a classic case. Guys run a fast 40 time. They test well. Teams fall in love with that, and they believe, hey, we've got something. I mean, this guy could be a legitimate deep threat for us, and he can help take those double teams away from AJ Green. Now, obviously, that didn't happen. I mean, Tyler Boyd became that number two target for the Bengals, and here it is. I mean, classic case again. Deontay Thompson, safety from Alabama. You know, I was actually curious to see him run the 40, but he's not going to test at all, Ed. I mean, he's out of the combine.
Yeah, so torn ligament in his wrist. You know, my feeling is he's not a first rounder right now. I don't think even from his tape he was a first rounder, but I think others thought he was a first rounder. But I think he's definitely in play for day two.
Oh, he is in play for day two. I think I'm sure he's going to be able to recover. It's a wrist injury. I expect him to do something at the pro day. And, yeah, he looks like a day two pick right now. You know, everybody's talking about Kyler Murray, and rightfully so. I mean, he chose football over baseball. A lot of people are speculating whether he's going to throw at the combine, like what his weight is going to be. I heard that Peter King came out with the tweet that Kyler Murray is up to 206 pounds, which is an improvement. He was 195. He was listed at 195 during the season. I want to remind all of our listeners that Russell Wilson checked in at 5'11", 204 at the combine when he was coming out. So if Kyler Murray can hold his weight and check in at over 200 pounds, I mean, that's already a big win for him. But I doubt that he's going to throw. I don't think he's going to test because everybody knows that he's a great athlete. I think he's going to wait for the Oklahoma Pro Day just to prepare a little bit more. But the one quarterback that I think is kind of, you know, everybody's talking about Drew Locke. Everybody's talking about Kyler Murray. What about Dwayne Haskins? Has everyone forgotten about him a little bit?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if anyone, I don't think anyone's forgotten about him. I just think, you know, with the Senior Bowl, he wasn't at the Senior Bowl for obvious reasons. You know, he's only a redshirt sophomore. And so he's just kind of been out of the spotlight, but I think he's going to, you know, he's going to get some attention this weekend at the combine.
No, I'm sure he will. And it's rumored that Haskins is going to do it all, that he is going to throw. I'm asking you, obviously everything that we've seen, you know, teams always trading up for quarterbacks. They do it every year. I mean, it happens every year, to be honest with you. I mean, we saw that last year with the Jets coming up to get Sam Darnold. We saw it with Carson Wentz. We saw it with Jared Goff. We saw it with Mitchell Trubisky. It's going to happen again this year. I mean, everybody, including myself, is mocking Dwayne Haskins to the Giants at number 6 or Kyler Murray. But I don't think Dwayne Haskins is going to last that long. I just think somebody is going to move up and get into the top 3 in order to get him. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him as a number one pick because I don't think he has the sort of, you know, pro readiness to be a number one pick. But I do think he has the upside that teams are going to like, and he's shown the upside on tape. So that gives me, like, I see 3 to 5, you know, you know, different teams. I mean, if anyone picks him without trading him, it's the Raiders. But I really could see a scenario. I could see two scenarios where a trade up would happen for him. One would be the Giants at number six. You know, Eli Manning's old. You know, they're going to need a quarterback. If they like him, you know, I think it would be the good thing. You know, I was saying last year how I thought that they should have drafted a quarterback instead of Saquon Barkley. You know, I think they've learned their lesson, and I think it's time for a new quarterback. And you know what? If Eli Manning's going to play another year, that'd be perfect. You know, you have Dwayne Haskins be, you know, learn from Eli Manning and, you know, eventually take over the reins for Eli Manning. So I like that scenario for the Giants.
Well, we got to look at the Jaguars as well. I mean, the Jaguars are sitting there.
That was what I was about to say. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I think the Jaguars might be the favorite to take Dwayne Haskins because they are just the most desperate. I mean, they've pretty much almost, you know, they've already moved on from Blake Bortles. I mean, they've kind of said Blake Bortles is not our guy, you know, and I don't, you know, and so they got the number seven pick. So, you know, they got a little bit of draft collateral. You know, if they want to move up, they're at the number seven. They have a pretty good roster, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, drafting a quarterback just makes so much sense for the Jaguars. And to be honest with you, if there's a quarterback I trust to draft in this draft, it's Dwayne Haskins.
It makes sense. I mean, he only started for 1 year, but he did show improvement. If you check out his last three or four games of the season, he shows plenty of upside. And he became a different quarterback. He became a more confident quarterback. So, and obviously, he's got the size. He's got the arm strength. He's got the quick release. I agree with you. The Giants and the Jaguars are the perfect landing spots for him. There's always going to be a team that kind of comes out of nowhere. It always happens. And, I mean, obviously, the Redskins are sitting there, the Dolphins at number 13, the Redskins at 15. Those two teams are also desperate at the quarterback position. I just don't think they have enough ammunition to move up. So which teams are willing to trade down? I mean, who are you looking at? If we're looking at the top five, who are the obvious contenders to be that trading partner with the Giants or the Jaguars?
Well, I mean, if you look at number one, I don't think the Cardinals will trade. I can't really see. I mean, it's kind of hard to predict who's willing to trade down because there's just too many factors. I mean, it's really unclear to know who will trade down.
I got you.
But there's always a team. I mean, there's no like science of predicting which teams are willing to trade down, and no team's ever going to say they're going to trade down.
No, absolutely. But we're speculating here on this podcast. We're speculating. I'll throw out the Jets out there. The Jets moved up in last year's draft to get their quarterback and Sam Darnold. They gave up a lot. This year, they don't have a second round pick. So I'm sure it's a team in a rebuilding mode. They need to get more weapons, offensive line, wide receiver, running back. They're also switching to a new defense. This was a 3-4 defense. Now they're going to be running a 4-3. So they don't have enough bodies to run that defense. So if Nick Bosa is gone, I think the Jets are definitely going to be one of the teams that's willing to trade down. And I'm not sure they're not going to go too far, but they're willing to make that trade with the Jaguars or the Giants to recoup some of those draft picks, to get more guys, whether it's second or third round picks. I think that's what the Jets are going to be looking at. And the Raiders. I mean, Mike Mayock has kind of come out and said that I have to be in love with a certain player. And if a couple of guys, his guys, are gone, I think the Raiders might be willing to trade down as well. And you know, to be honest with you, they did it last year. Mike McGlinchey was off the board. They traded down. They picked up Colton Miller. I mean, John Gruden was willing to do that. I'm sure this year the Raiders are also going to be taking calls at number four. If somebody wants to get that quarterback, the Raiders, again, another team desperate to find as much talent as possible, whether it's edge rusher, wide receiver, get more playmakers in the secondary, a corner and safety. Raiders have a lot of holes to fill. So to me, it's pretty obvious. I mean, the Jets and the Raiders, are the two obvious candidates to trade down, especially in the top five.
I'm just going to say the Raiders are the biggest wild card in this sort of how the board breaks. I mean, I could see them drafting a quarterback. I could see them drafting down to get more players. You know, they've got, you know, maybe they want to be like the Browns of a couple of years ago and just accumulate a ton of picks. You know, they have already got a lot of picks coming up in the next 2 years. So, you know, they want to rebuild and, you know, Gruden's going to want to have his guys. So
I want to there's one thing I want to go on record on. The Raiders, no way are the Raiders going to draft a quarterback at number four. No way is that going to happen. Whether Dwayne Haskins is on the board, Kyler Murray, doesn't matter who's on the board. Derek Carr is their quarterback. They're going to roll with him for another year. I'm not saying it's a smart decision or the wrong one. What I am saying is the Raiders are committed to Derek Carr in 2019. I think a lot of people are speculating and feel that for some reason John Gruden is going to go with Kyler Murray because he is, you know, he likes him. And he probably does like him. But the thing is, he's got a quarterback. And the Raiders have too many holes to fill in order to address that quarterback at number four. It would be really foolish to draft a quarterback at number four. You can draft a quarterback on day two. You can draft a quarterback on day three. Maybe bring in a veteran. But if the Raiders, a team with so many holes to fill and committed to Derek Carr with his salary, it would be really foolish to get a quarterback at number four. It's asinine, to be honest with you. Same thing with the Cardinals at number one. People speculating that Cliff Kingsbury, he mentioned that he would have drafted Kyler Murray at number one. Yes, he would have. But the Cardinals hired Cliff Kingsbury with Josh Rosen in mind, not to draft Kyler Murray at number one. They want to turn Josh Rosen's career around, and they feel that Cliff Kingsbury can have that same effect that Sean McVay had on Jared Goff a few years back when they hired him. So, again, stop with all this talk. The Cardinals aren't drafting a quarterback at number one. They're not trading Josh Rosen. I don't think the Raiders are going to trade Derek Carr as well. They're sticking with him, and they're going to address another player at number four. So I want to stop all that talk about quarterbacks.
I just don't agree with that. I agree with you on the Cardinals, but I don't agree with you on the Raiders. You know, we've seen on-field drama between John Gruden and Derek Carr. You know, Derek Carr is not John Gruden's guy. You know, they're really trying to build this team as Gruden's team. And, you know, he's really sent out a lot of mixed messages. And I think that is a legitimate place where we need to see if Gruden wants his guy. Cause, you know, he does have the draft capital to get to, you know, if he likes somebody in this draft to take him.
All right. I guess time will tell. We're a couple of months away from the draft, and, you know, those questions are going to be answered. All right, let's move on. We decided to do a couple of scouting profiles this week. We decided to talk about a couple of players that are gaining some steam and are hot topics in the scouting circles. Let's start with Rashawn Gary. Rashawn Gary was a number one recruit a few years back in the nation. That never lived up to the billing, Ed. He never became that special cornerstone for Michigan that I think they were hoping when they signed him a few years back. But if Rashawn Gary, we're not going to say if, when Rashawn Gary blows up the combine, which he will, if obviously he performs during this week, there's going to be a lot of conversations about a top five, top 10 pick. I mean, we've seen it before. Solomon Thomas went number two overall to the 49ers. Eric Armstead was a top 10 pick. Guys have a great combine and they get into the conversation because, you know, teams fall in love with that upside and his athleticism. So let's talk about Rashawn Gary, an intriguing player, but it's kind of a boom or bust pick.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, I was pretty sour on Rashawn Gary, you know, when I looked at his tape a year ago. I was just totally shocked at why they would draft him so high. Now I kind of see why he's a first rounder. Now I kind of see from his tape this year that why he could be a first rounder.
All right. Before we start with the strengths and weaknesses, how high would you draft him? knowing that you're not a big scouting combine guy, knowing that he's a great athlete, that he will test well, run a great 40 time, and put up some huge numbers in the athleticism drills, how high would you take him?
You know, I think if I needed, he'd have to be, I'd have to have a 4-3 system, and I'd have to need a 4-3 defensive end, first of all. And I think it would be a late first round type of thing.
All right.
You know, it'd be, you know, I mean, there are, you know, this is a good defensive line draft, but I kind of judge that the guys who are better edge guys in this draft, I think are more outside linebacker types in this draft. And so, yeah, there's, you know, you could use Nick Bosa as a defensive end if you wanted to, but I think he's more of an outside linebacker. You know, so really, you know, number, you know, right after him, I mean, how many other names are there for, you know, just straight 4-3 defensive ends? And so,
well, Cleveland Farrell is one of them. I mean, Farrell is one of them.
Okay. I mean, I take Farrell way before I take Rashawn Gary. And I think Cleveland Farrell will be a top 10 pick, but you know, late first round, you know, wanting to get a guy who can come in and start and, you know, be a potentially very good, you know, defensive end in the league, you know, a guy who's, I mean, what I like about him is I think he's a good run stopper. You know, I think he's a guy who can start right away. I think he's a good run stopper. I think he's some potential. There's just, The things that bother me about Rashawn Gary.
No, let's talk about his strengths. Let's talk. So you think he's a good run stopper. So let's throw it out there. I wanted to mention it before you mentioned that he's a good run stopper, which I also feel he's a good run defender. Can he play a 3-4 defensive end? He certainly has the body type, Ed. I mean, he's going to check in at about 6'4 and a half, about 285 with the frame to get bigger if he needs to. He's a guy that, you know, can hold up on the edge because he's a strong guy. He can take on some double teams and be that force as a run defender. A 3-4 defensive end. Let's float the idea out there.
I don't like it because, you know what, to be honest with you, I think he's a better fit. I think he's a better fit as a 4-3 defensive end. And to be honest with you, I think there's a lot of good guys. You know, if you want a 3-4 defensive end, I mean, you know, Ed Oliver.
Ed Oliver is too short to be a 3-4 defensive end. I mean, with all due respect, he's too short. I mean, at like 6'1 and a half, there's no way you can hold up as a 3-4 defensive end. Do you see 6'1 and a half guys in the NFL? Give me one. Give me one. A successful one. There are none. No way in hell. I'm just floating the idea out there. I mean, Rashawn Gary is got the body type. He's got the long arms. Obviously, there are times that he's playing in a 3-4. Michigan switches up front. They put him a defensive tackle. Primarily, he plays 4-3 defensive end, but there are times that Michigan rushes 3 and he's out there on the end as a 3-4 guy. I don't see an explosive guy that can get, you know, 10-plus sacks a season. He hasn't done it at Michigan. He's not going to do it in the NFL. So why not utilize his best asset, which is being a good run defender, and teach him full-time how to be a 3-4 defensive end? There's just, like I said, the pieces add up for me. He's not going to have to rush the passer and get to the quarterback. Like, he doesn't have to be a J.J. Watt type of player. You see maybe many 3-4 defensive end being primarily a good run defender and, you know, getting out there and trying to get on those obvious passing downs, trying to get to the quarterback. I'm, like I said, floating the idea out there because I see him more as a 3-4 defensive end. What don't you like about him?
Well, I mean, the two things that I see is around the bend, I don't feel like he has the dip or the bend that you want in an edge rusher.
There's your answer, Ed. Your answer. Whether he could be a 4-3 defensive end. I mean, I think that there's your scouting report on him, and basically the answer just comes out. Continue.
Well, And to be honest with you, another thing I don't like is I don't really love his bull rush. For a guy who is the athlete he is and has the strength that he has, I think he needs to work on his bull rush. And I think that's a technique issue, to be honest with you. I think he has strength. I just don't think he has the right technique, you know, in his bull rush. You know, there's other things. You know, sometimes with speed rushers, you know, you need them to be sort of, you know, show a lot of moves. I see weaknesses in a lot of moves. You know, I think he has a quick first step, but he kind of has a little bit of that. He's kind of more of a pressure guy than a, than necessarily a sack guy. Like, I don't think, you know, the difference between him and Cleveland Farrell is, like, a guy like Cleveland Farrell is going to fight for his sacks. You know, he's not just going to bring pressure. He's going to get after the quarterback. Whereas Rashawn Gary is the type of guy who, you know, he's going to bring pressure, and he's going to be a nice, you know, pass rusher. What I see him as is a guy who can be a regular, you know, sort of average starter, you know, in the right system type of guy. I know, like, sometimes, like, you know, him being the number one recruit in the country and him having such a big, you know, combine, you know, sort of pedigree that, you know, they think, you know, this guy's got great upside. I don't see a guy with great upside. I see a guy who, you know, can just be a very, very steady average guy in the NFL.
Your scouting report sounds like a 3-4 defensive end to me. I keep coming back to that. I just – basically, you're answering your question. You said he's a good run defender, you know, not able to get sacks. He won't be able to get sacks at the NFL, but he's going to be able to apply pressure. To me, it's a 3-4 defensive end. And the body type fits, and he's a better athlete than some other 3-4 defensive ends out there. To me, I'll continue with his weaknesses. I see an inconsistent get-off. I don't see a quick first step. He lacks a variety of pass rush moves. And the one thing that really bugs me, when you scout defensive ends or defensive linemen, you want him to have a good motor. You want it to be nonstop, because a lot of the sacks come from chasing plays on the backside, you know, getting after the quarterback, continuing with the play. He's got an inconsistent motor, and it continues. I mean, if you check his 2018 games, he's jogging on a lot of the plays. I mean, he's kind of nonchalant. Sometimes he brings it, sometimes he doesn't. So Rashawn Gary said, and I quote what he said in an interview, and I like the confidence, that he's the number one player in this draft, that he's the best player in this draft. Obviously, he believes that, and he should believe that, because, hey, I mean, a football player has got to believe that he's the best player in this draft. Even if he's an undrafted free agent, he's got to drive himself, you know, to be the best. But there's just too many inconsistencies in his game. I don't see a guy that gets after the quarterback. There's not one game, and I saw about 10 of his games, Ed, whether it's 2018, 2017. There's not one game that I could say he dominated this game. Not one game. I would say, like, look, you check out his tape this game, and he shows you what he can be. What people are talking about, it's a top 5, top 10 pick. But in reality, Ed, after the combine, he's a shoo-in for a top 10 pick. Some teams are just going to fall in love with it, and they would feel that they can develop his skills and that he's got upside and he will get better as a pro.
I don't agree with that.
No, I understand that. Like I said, I asked you off the air, and you and I talked about it. I have a late first, early second round grade on him. I don't see anything higher. There's no way in hell I can draft him in the top 10. And I realize that he's gonna kill the combine, but he's going to be one of the players that gets overdrafted. There's just no question about it. He's going to get overdrafted. We see it every year. Rashawn Gary is definitely a candidate there. All right, let's talk about Daniel Jones, the David Cutcliffe pupil. Obviously, David Cutcliffe had success with Peyton Manning at Tennessee. He had success with Eli Manning at Ole Miss. And you're going to hear a lot about David Cutcliffe and Daniel Jones throughout this draft process because, hey, it's intriguing. I mean, he's developed two really good NFL quarterbacks. And obviously, they're going to, you know, some people are going to say, hey, Daniel Jones is also that similar product that has the ability to get better. You and I differ on this prospect. So let's talk about his strengths, what he does well.
To be honest with you, I'm pretty, you know, I feel like I'm ready to just lay the smack down on and
let's
just
do it. I just
this is a guy I would take off my draft radar, and like, you know, if the only time I'd draft him if he was like around in like the fifth round. That's the only time I would take him.
Well, give me he's gotta have a couple of positives. Come on, man. Every player has got positives.
All right. Well, the positives is, you know, he's tall, 6'5", you know. He's a guy who can get the ball out, I think, relatively quick. I think he can throw under pressure. I think he has decent arm strength. You know, this is what I see in him. I see him very much a system quarterback, and that's what makes him, I think that's what he is. I think he's a, you know, he's a guy who could play in a system with a lot of short passes. That's what he did at Duke.
A West Coast quarterback.
He's a West Coast quarterback.
It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing if he can execute and be accurate in the short intermediate area. He doesn't have to throw deep. I mean, short intermediate area, West Coast quarterback. There are plenty of quarterbacks that are West Coast quarterbacks right now in the NFL that are succeeding.
Well, to be honest with you, I like offenses that attack. I like offenses that can take the top off the defense. And
okay.
So,
then Daniel,
you know,
Jones is not your quarterback.
He's not my quarterback.
He's not your quarterback. You should be all in on Drew Lock then, Ed. Should be all in on Drew Lock. Because
there's a lot of problems with Drew Lock too. I did put Haskins as my number one. So,
okay.
I mean, you know, I think Haskins is the right guy. There's other problems. I mean, he's kind of the opposite problem, Drew Lock. You know, Drew Lock is, you know, just. I mean, at least there's some improvement on Drew Lock's place, but.
But Daniel Jones improved. That's not true, Ed. If you turn on the tape on Daniel Jones during the first couple of weeks of this season, he looks like a mess. If you turn on the tape on Daniel Jones the last 3-4 weeks of the season, which you and I mentioned and agreed on with Dwayne Haskins as well, the last 3-4 games for Dwayne Haskins, he put up some great numbers, and he was terrific. He got better. I feel the same way with Daniel Jones. When I turn on the tape at the end of the season, I see a guy that has potential. You're absolutely right in saying that he's a West Coast quarterback. It's not a bad thing. I mean, he struggles with his deep ball accuracy. Teddy Bridgewater struggled with his deep ball accuracy. And, you know, he was a quarterback that was accurate in the short intermediate area. I'm not comparing Daniel Jones to Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater was more accurate. But just a little bit unfair. I mean, there's some limitations. There's no question about it. But the fact is, he throws a very catchable ball. You know, he works through those progressions. He makes good reads, especially at the end of the season. He doesn't have a go-to wide receiver in that system that's going to get drafted. I don't think any of his wide receivers are going to get a camp shot. He doesn't have an offensive line. There are a lot of drops out there. You know, Drew Lock had a really good offensive line, especially last year. His protection was brilliant. Daniel Jones kind of had an uphill battle. But what I do like about him, you mentioned that, he does really well against pressure. He's got great pocket awareness. In today's game, you got to have that. It's not about running the football. It's about the little things, stepping up, having those quick feet, those light feet, kind of like a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady. You're always moving your feet, therefore you can always slide and make that throw, keeping those eyes downfield. I'll tell you this. I've warmed up to Daniel Jones. I'm not saying he's my quarterback. What I am saying is when I checked out his tape in the beginning of the season, just like you, I was like, oh, no. I mean, I can't see how this guy can be a first-round pick. I'm watching those late games, you know, the last three, four games of the season, and I'm saying I see the potential. I mean, I see something. He has average arm strength. He struggles with deep ball accuracy. There are some issues out there. Sometimes he'll make some decisions that will go make you scratch your head. Not like in Drew Locke's case. I mean, Drew Locke makes four or five throws that make you scratch your head. But I've actually warmed up to Daniel Jones. I don't see a fifth-round guy. I see a guy that's a late first, early second round pick. I think he's going to get drafted a lot higher. I think for a team like the Washington Redskins at number 15, who don't have a quarterback right now, Alex Smith will not play in 2019. I think that would be a good fit for him for an offense. The Washington Redskins want to run the football. They have good defense. I think Daniel Jones has the capability to become a good starter in this league. Not a star, but a good starting quarterback.
Yeah, here's just some of the things that just worry about me as drafting him.
Okay.
This is just why I don't draft him. You know, if I'm looking for a quarterback, this is why. First of all, he's very hot and cold in terms of accuracy. In fact, he misses badly on passes on tape, and I think it's a little embarrassing.
Ball placement is an issue at times. Yeah.
Ball placement is an issue too. You know, I will acknowledge that his receivers weren't very good. I've seen him throw off his back foot. You know, it doesn't, you know, just mechanically doesn't look good. I think he needs to go through his whole progression. I don't think he's, you know, I don't think he's a guy who can attack deep, which is kind of what I've said. You know, he's definitely very much a system quarterback.
Every quarterback is a system quarterback, Ed. Every quarterback is a system quarterback. I mean, if you take Patrick Mahomes out of the Kansas City Chiefs, that, you know, what do you think? Do you think he's going to be a guy that throws 50 touchdowns in another offense? I don't think so. I think Andy Reid, I mean, every quarterback that's in the NFL has a system that he runs really, really well. Not everybody is an Andrew Luck or, you know, Tom Brady is a system quarterback. Take him away from Josh McDaniel's system. You think he's going to be that guy? I'm just asking the question. Every quarterback is a system quarterback. You have to find the right system for him and say that, hey, this guy's going to attack the short intermediate area. He's never going to be a deep ball thrower. And like I said, Teddy Bridgewater coming out of Louisville was a system quarterback, a West Coast guy that excelled in the short intermediate throws. The Minnesota Vikings took him at the end of the first round because they felt like he could succeed in that North Turner's offense. They weren't going to, you know, and we saw it with the Vikings in those first couple of years, even when he had a really good second year when he excelled before the injury, he was never a good deep ball thrower. It's going to be the same thing with Daniel Jones. The point that I'm trying to make is every quarterback is a system quarterback. He has his limitations with arm strength, deep ball accuracy, it is a problem. And to me, it's not the arm strength, it's velocity. Some throws, he has to throw with better anticipation. He's got to realize that he just doesn't have the Drew Locke's arm strength or the Dwayne Haskins' arm strength. He's got to get rid of the ball quicker before the wide receiver comes out of his break. If he continues to improve in that area, I don't think it's going to be an issue. Because, I mean, You could say the same thing about Drew Brees. Peyton Manning never had a huge arm. It was above average arm strength, but he was accurate. He threw with great anticipation. I'm just throwing out some names out there. I'm not comparing Daniel Jones to even Teddy Bridgewater or Peyton Manning, but the point that I'm trying to make is when you realize his limitations, you can fit and make him your quarterback. That's why I say the Redskins offense, it would be a good fit for him.
I mean, I could see him being, you know, playing it in a West Coast offense. I feel like in today's NFL, to win a Super Bowl, you need to be able to attack downfield. Unless you're Tom Brady, and then it's just like.
Well, there you go. You found your answer. Look, Alex Smith has been an above average NFL starter in this league. He has never led his team to the Super Bowl, but he's always carried the team to the playoffs. So, yeah, you can make a case that, you know, the Chiefs defense was great and Alex Smith was just the game manager. But I think Daniel Jones can also play that role. He's not the quarterback that would be like Andrew Locke or Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. But I think he could be a guy that could be an NFL starter for a long time and could be that game manager, which isn't a bad thing. Alex Smith has made a career out of it. And look, the Washington Redskins traded for him because when they lost Kirk Cousins, I mean, they realized they had to replace him with somebody. Alex Smith wasn't the worst option out there. By the way, it pains me to say that, Ed, because Alex Smith was horrible with the 49ers. You know I'm a fan of the Niners, right? Alex Smith was terrible. But the thing is, he got with Andy Reid. He became a capable quarterback in this league. Not a great one, but a good one. I think Daniel Jones has that same capability. Like I said, you and I differ. Obviously, you know, you mentioned that Daniel Jones, you wouldn't draft him until the fifth round, and you think he is overrated. I say Daniel Jones is a much better prospect than Drew Lock. Much better prospect, because people are falling in love with his arm strength. And Jones is a better prospect, no question about it. And
I mean, the thing is Drew Lock, there's a reason Drew Lock started over Daniel Jones. I mean, you know, Drew Lock was
where did he start over
Daniel? In the Senior Bowl.
Who had the better game at the Senior Bowl?
Who was the starter though? Who was out there with the first team?
Who had the better game at the Senior Bowl?
Who was more highly regarded?
I think both guys received some hype. I mean, you felt like Drew Lock had a really good week. I don't want to talk about All-Star games. All-Star game is an All-Star game. You know, some guy can help himself a little bit, but it's an All-Star game, Ed. It's an All-Star game. We're judging it based on tape. Daniel Jones is a better prospect than Drew Lock. I could care less if most NFL teams think that Drew Lock has more potential. Daniel Jones is a better quarterback. To be honest
with you, Drew Lock a year ago, you know, his tape. Yeah, I mean, I would say.
No, I'm talking about this tape this year as well. Drew Lock improved, not as much as I would hope he would improve. A guy who has started for 4 years. Like I said, the bonehead decisions, the accuracy issues. He also has an accuracy issue, just like Daniel Jones. Yeah, he throws a nice deep ball. He's got a strong arm. Drew Lock is going to be out of the league in 3-4 years. Mark my words.
Well, you know, at least here's the thing is at least with Daniel Jones is at least he's a guy who can make all the throws. You know, he's a guy who, you know, you could develop and have him make all the throws. I don't see Daniel Jones. I mean, Daniel Jones can't complete a deep ball. And it's just you need to have the big playability. I mean, it's just teams can just scheme around, you know, quarterbacks who don't have that flexibility.
Alex Smith has lasted in the league for 10 years. He's also got limitations. He's also not a guy that throws deep. And for some reason, he still leads his team into the playoffs. And the Chiefs kept him around for a very long time as their starting quarterback before a better quarterback came along, a more talented, younger guy, Patrick Mahomes. No doubt about it. But what I am saying is there are quarterbacks in this league who've made a career out of it. So to me, Daniel Jones and Alex Smith is a nice comp. It really is. Because guys like this, quarterbacks like this, I mean, they stay around and they could have a successful career. I'm not saying Daniel Jones is going to be an all-pro quarterback. He's not. I don't think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But I see more upside with him than with Drew Lock. And arm strength is overrated, Ed. Really overrated. It's been proven every year with every prospect that we've had, and it continues to be. For some reason, obviously people see that zip on the football, that velocity, and they go, hey, I could do something with this guy. Gets rid of the ball quickly. He throws it deep well. He's got great arm strength. And, you know, he could throw from his knees 90 yards into the end zone. Yes, he can. But Drew, that doesn't make Drew Lock a good quarterback. All right, you and I will continue this discussion. I'm sure there'll be some more discussions on Daniel Jones and Drew Lock, and it should be interesting. All right, this was, guys, thanks for listening. This was Blitzcast number 48. enjoy the combine. It should be fun. It's always entertaining. And, yeah, definitely. We'll come back and recap the scouting combine in about a week. Ed, thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
All right, take care.